I'm not going to try and convince you to go on a mission trip today. But what you can do for me today, right now, is please pull out your Bibles or turn it on and turn to Luke chapter 10. We're going to be in Luke chapter 10 looking in verses 1 through 3. And as you turn there, talking, just a little bit about not having to go on a mission trip. Hey, the missions guy is not going to try and convince me to go on a mission trip. I would like to tell you a story, though, about an author by the name of Patsy Claremont. And she found herself on the airplane, and she was sitting next to a young man. And she asked him a question, and he responded with, "Yes, ma'am." And so when he responded with "yes, ma'am," she automatically had three thoughts that entered into her head. First of all, Patsy thought, well, number one, this guy must think I'm old because he called me ma'am, all right? Are you with me on that? Okay, so he probably thinks I'm old. Then she had this thought. She said, well, maybe he's a Southern boy, and you know how those Southern boys are. They're raised with manners. Are y'all with me on that? All right, we're from Texas, okay? We teach our kids to say yes, ma'am, and no, sir, okay? Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, right? Maybe he was from the South. He was raised with a few manners, okay? Then she thought, you know what? It could be that this young man is from the military. She looked at him again, and obviously he was squared off sitting in his seat, and, straight up and down, and he would only answer when asked questions. And so she finally asked him, she said, I think you're in the military. Are you in the military? And he said, yes, ma'am. And she said, well, what branch? And he said, the Marines. All right, there's a few guys there that said, who all over there? Okay, so she said, I'm in the Marines. She said, oh, great, where are you coming from and where are you going? To which he said, I just got done serving 18 months over in Desert Storm, and I'm on my way home to see my family and my kids that I haven't seen in 18 months. And she said, and she's writing this story, retelling this story, and Patsy, she continues to write, and she said, we talked a little bit about his family, but then I asked him, didn't you miss them being gone for that long? Being gone 18 months, didn't you miss him and didn't you think of them often? And here's how he responded. He said this, and I quote, oh no, ma'am, we were taught to never think of what may never be, but to be fully available right where we were. To be fully available right where we were. Missions is not about traveling abroad or going into a jungle or going to some exotic place. Rather, missions is about being available right where you are right now. For a majority of us, we're not going to get on a plane and go to Belize. We're not going to go to Prague. We're not going to go to the Dominican Republic. Forbes magazine did a survey in 2019, and here's what they found out. 11% of those surveyed said that they have never traveled outside of the state where they were born. 11%. How many of you have never traveled outside of Texas? I mean, it's the greatest country in the world, amen? But how many of you have never traveled out? Okay, so everyone in here has traveled outside. Okay, well, very good, all right. I just thought I'd ask. Okay, get this. Over half, 54%, said they have visited 10 or fewer states. 10 or fewer states. Get this. As many as 13% said they have never flown on a plane. How many of you have never flown on a plane? You've never flown. Okay, you haven't flown on a plane? That's awesome. Okay. 40% of those questioned said that they've never left the country. Okay, 40% of those questions said they've never left the country. And over half of those that responded to the survey said that they have never owned a passport. And when you think about missions, you think, oh, it's about getting on a plane and going somewhere. Yet, I propose that that is not what it's about. Rather, being on mission is about being an influence in your world. and impacting people in your world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. During Jesus' ministry, he gathered his disciples and his followers together, okay? He gathered them around, okay? And we're going to read this story where he gathers them around, he gives them some instructions, and then he says, go out. And the same principles, the same thing that Jesus called his disciples to do, I believe we can do as Christians today here in the 21st century. And so we pick up the story in Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 1, and it says this. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two. Say two by two. That was pretty weak. Say it with some chutzpah. Ready? Two by two. There you go. All right. So Jesus, he gathered everybody up, 72 others, and he sent them out by what? Two by two. Ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go! I am sending you out like lambs among the wolves. When you read this short passage here as part of the whole story, you see three critical instructions that Jesus gives to his disciples and to his followers. And the reason why I kind of want to talk about this here today is not to convince you to be on mission. Rather, I want to simply challenge you. I want to encourage you. I want to show you really how easy it is to follow Jesus Christ, to show you how easy it is to follow Jesus Christ. I like what Jack Hiles says. He says this, God's people cannot be shamed into serving God. They need to be challenged. And so today I want to challenge you and give you three simple instructions that we see here in this passage. And here's the first thing we need to know about going out and going on mission. And that is simply this. First of all, don't go at it alone. Don't do it alone. Work with someone else. If you look there in verse 1, it says this. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out. What? That's right, two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. Don't think that you have to be, or even that you are, the lone ranger in your world of influence. Don't think that you are the only one that is a Christian in your world of influence, whether it be at the office or on the playing field or in your neighborhood. You need some support. You need someone to walk by your side. Notice, Jesus did not send them out individually. No, he said, everybody gather up, now pair up. Everybody find your buddy. Find your buddy. Find your buddy and then go with your buddy out there and tell the people, hey, listen, Jesus is coming. God knew from the very beginning when he created the world, he created man, placed man there in the garden, and God looked at it and said, it is not good for man to be alone. Look in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. The Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. So from the very beginning, when God planted man there in the garden, he looked and said, hey, listen, he needs somebody to help him. And so he created woman as a suitable helpmate for him. And when Jesus gathered his disciples and followers together, he said, hey, listen, you need somebody to help you, to go with you. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12, what does it say? Two are better than one because they have a good return on their labor. If either of them falls down, one can pick up the other. But pity the one who falls and no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they can keep warm. How can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. when Paul went on his missionary trips. He didn't just go by himself. He had other guys go with him. He had guys like Barnabas and John Mark and Timothy and Silas. He had companions that would go and walk with him and travel with him to his destinations and to his places to preach the gospel. He had somebody there with him. Earlier I said that we don't need to be the Lone Ranger. Does anybody know who the Lone Ranger's partner was? Tonto, that's right. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay, we are all officially old that are holding up our hands. I'm sorry. I hate to say that. I had to come to terms with that earlier this week when I asked my son, hey, do you know who the Lone Ranger is? He's like, no. And I was like, I am officially old. It hurt. It cut deep. But the Lone Ranger always had Tonto, didn't he? It's funny. You see the show The Lone Ranger, but really, is he really alone? No. And let's be honest, it was Tonto that did all the work, right? Tonto did it all. The Lone Ranger, somehow he got all the credit, but Tonto, he was the man. Love Tonto, but the Lone Ranger never went anywhere without Tonto. He was always there by the Lone Ranger's side. Let me give you four reasons why it is important having somebody with you when you're serving God. There are four important reasons why you should pair up, why you should have a buddy, a partner when serving God. First of all, you grow in maturity. You grow in maturity. Now, I don't know about you, but I love to hunt. I love to hunt. I love to fish. And one of the things I really enjoy doing is I enjoy bird hunting, okay? I enjoy bird hunting, and one of my favorite birds to hunt is duck. I like duck. Do we have any duck hunters in here? Can I get an amen, a hand raise? Oh, y'all are missing out. Y'all are missing out for those of you that aren't hunting duck. Here's the deal, is hunting duck is way more fun. Just hunting bird in general is fun because you can actually carry on a conversation because, see, the birds, they can't hear you when they're flying around up there. See, when you're hunting like a four-legged animal, they can hear you. I don't know why that is, but like when you're hunting deer, it's always, shh, be quiet, right? But if you're hunting birds, it's like, I missed one, it's coming your way. You know, you can do that. Okay, when you're bird hunting, you can have a normal conversation when you're sitting in the blind when you're hunting duck. Or when you're hunting dove, you know, you can actually yell out, hey, it's coming your way, look out. You know, get your gun up, get ready. But as Christians, we grow in our maturity together. One of the things that is very hard for me to do is to actually do a good duck call. Now, for some of you that are in here, you're probably going to judge me based on my duck call, okay? I'm not a professional, okay? I'm very much an amateur, okay? But please understand this, okay? The very basics of any duck call is rooted in simply the quack, okay? The quack is the most important call because everything is based on that. Whether it's the feeding call, whether it's the comeback call, whether it's the cage and squeal call. Are y'all with me on that? Some of you are like, I have no idea what this guy's talking about. It doesn't matter. Whether it's the cage and squeal, it doesn't matter. It's all based and rooted in one simple call, and that is the simple quack. Now, you can go on YouTube and you can look up beginners, duck calling for beginners, okay? And you can look at hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of guys that have given you advice, okay, on how to make a good duck call. And so guess what? When I started duck hunting, that's what I did. I got on YouTube and I looked it all up and I went to, you know, I had to go to Phil's, you know, webpage and look at it. And he always says when you blow into a duck call, you need to say the word 10. Everybody say 10. Okay, say 10 again. Okay, where does your tongue hit? It hits, the tip of your tongue hits at the top of the roof of your mouth, okay, at the front of your mouth. So when you say 10 into the duck call, it sounds like this. Okay, that's what it sounds like, okay? Now, it's kind of a little high. Now, for me, okay, I can look at that and I can watch that on YouTube by myself and practice all day long. Okay? Now, there's a problem with that, okay? I don't really sound like a good duck, okay? I don't sound like a good duck. And so I can practice all I want to by myself, but I was with a friend and I was having this trouble and I'm like, listen, I'm listening to them on YouTube. I'm practicing. It's not really coming out right. And he goes, okay. He goes, 10 is good. But he said, instead of saying 10, say K. And I went, say K? And he goes, yes, say K, don't say 10. So everybody say K. K, okay? Say K again. Now say 10. Now say K. If you notice 10, the tip of your tongue, the front part, the tip of your tongue hits the top of the roof of your mouth. When you say K, what is it? Your throat opens up just a little bit and the back of your tongue hits the roof of your mouth. And so what it does is it opens up your throat a little bit and allows it to growl just a little bit. So you hear that? Do you see the difference? This is 10. This is K. You hear how it kind of growls? Sorry, I kind of squeaked a little bit. Hold on, let me try it again. This is the last service, so I can go as long as I want, right? Okay, you hear it? It's a little bit lower. There's a little bit more growl in there. And that's the most simple, basic. But I started practicing that, and I started getting better. And also, my call started to sound just a little bit more authentic. I can watch by myself all the YouTubes I want to all day long on how to do a duck call. But it wasn't until I grew in my duck calling experience, it wasn't until I sat down with somebody else when I was in the blind and they actually kind of tweaked. And they began to tweak and they began to tell me, hey, listen, why don't you try this? Why don't you practice this? Here's one thing none of the YouTubers ever told me is nobody ever said, and this is what my buddy said while we were in there. He's like, you know, a month before duck season, which it starts in December and it goes for a good couple weeks here in Texas, is he said, you know, in November, he goes, get out your practice duck calls. Okay, he goes, and when you drive around, every time you hit the brake, you grab your duck call and you make a quack. And I said, why is that? And he goes, well, first of all, people will look at you like you're crazy. But he goes, second of all, he goes, you don't know when the duck is coming. He said, so you got to grab it and be good enough to make that first call worth something. And so now it drives my wife nuts every time we get in the car because I'm just quacking the whole time. She's like, hey, honey. I'm like, quack, quack, quack. You know, she's like, put that thing away. I'm like, no. But you see, I've learned so much from this friend of mine. I've grown in my knowledge and in my maturity of duck hunting. And the same is for us as Christians when we go out and we serve God. We got to have that somebody with us. That's someone that can encourage us. That's someone that we can build and grow our knowledge off of. And please understand this, that it is not just them that is feeding us. Rather, it is us that is doing the exact same thing back to them. That's what's so great is that you are mutually growing in your maturity in faith. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Romans 1:11-12, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong, so that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Number two, you grow in friendship. Like I said earlier, the one thing I love about duck hunting is I can sit in a blind and have a normal conversation with somebody. I don't have to whisper like I do when I'm deer hunting and say, shh, we're hunting wabbits, right? No, instead, I can sit there and I can have a normal conversation with someone. And so as you can have that normal conversation, so you can build in your friendship with one another. As you serve God together, you grow in your friendship together. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as in fact you are doing. Number three, you have a friend to celebrate with. You know, there's a lot of times where you can celebrate and you can celebrate by yourself, but it's just not as much fun until you have somebody else with you. Amen. I mean, you just want that, you want someone that you can be able to high five or go, yeah. When you're duck hunting and that duck comes around and you make that quack and they turn and then they see your decoys there on the pond and they see that food that's just barely underneath the water. And that bird swoons like this. Are y'all with me? Some of you are like, I have no clue what you're talking about. It doesn't matter. It's awesome. Just take my word for it. That bird swoons, and you get excited, and you pop up out of that blind, and you throw the top of the blind off, and then bam, 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 you rattle off three shots and totally miss the bird. And it flies off. And your friend is there to laugh at you. Right? Ah, Justin, with sun in your eye, gun barrel curved, you know, all the typical stuff hunters say to each other. But then you make that really tough shot and that bird drops out of the air. Man, it's awesome. And you're high-fiving each other. Dog's going out there to get the bird. It's so much fun. But it's nice to have somebody to celebrate with. And so many times God does great and mighty things, and it is good to have somebody to celebrate with and to say, hey, did you just see what God did? Did you see how he is working? And it is good to celebrate what God has done and is doing in our lives today, not only in our lives, but also in the lives of others that we pray so hard for, right? Psalm 126:3, the Lord has done great things for who? For us. And we are filled with joy. See that us, that togetherness. Psalm 95:1-2, come let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Fourth, you can pursue bigger things. You can pursue bigger things when you have somebody with you, when you have a partner. 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. Romans 15:5-6, may the God who gives you endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude and mind towards each other in Christ Jesus, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, it's nice when you have somebody else there with you. You can do bigger things. The things that are hard as one person, man, you can do it. Now when you have two people, it becomes simpler. You know what I love about duck hunting is not only being in your blind, okay, with your buddy, but then you have some friends across the tank. Because what happens is ducks generally don't always come to your blind. Last time I checked, they're wild. They just kind of do whatever they want to, right? They just kind of fly wherever. And so sometimes they'll fly over to your friend's blind. Well, guess what? Your friend is blind as a bat, and they can't hit nothing. So they'll pop out of the blind, shoot up there in the air, and they'll just, you know, throw a whole bunch of lead up in the air. And so what does it do? It pushes ducks over where? To my blind. Hey, guess what? It's good that they're there with me. It's good that we can pursue the same things together. And because they're over there on the other side, hey, guess what? We can cover more ground. And when we can cover more ground, guess what? We can get more ducks. It's great. From a spiritual perspective and from God's perspective, from Jesus's perspective, what does he say? He says, hey, go out there two by two. Why? Because you can do more things. You can pursue bigger things. Now you're just not going to worry about a block of a city. Rather, between the two of you, you can cover a whole city. We talked about earlier in the video, Redemption City Church. We just started partnering and supporting them. Taking this very concept, these very principles that I'm talking about hey, don't go at it alone. Dr. Matt Kendrick, he is a friend of mine. We graduated seminary together. We had such a great time in seminary. We just enjoyed it, and we grew to be friends. But he called me up a couple months ago. He said, hey, dude, because that's what we call each other. We call each other dude. And he's like, hey, dude, I guess what? I just moved back to Fort Worth. And he was in North Carolina, and I said, welcome home. And he said, guess what? God has called me to start a church here in Fort Worth. I said, man, that's great. And the next question out of my mouth was, so what are you going to do? What do you need? He goes, these were his words. He goes, man, I need a partner. I need somebody like you that's a friend that will come alongside me, but also I need a church that's going to come alongside my fledgling, growing church that we're trying to start in the middle of this corona deal. And I don't know what to do. There are some things I have answers to. There are other things I don't. I need a partner. I tell you what, Matt skipped church this Sunday to come to our church. He's sitting right over here. Matt, stand up so people can see who you are. This is Matt Kendrick. We're supporting him. We're supporting him. We're supporting his church, City Redemption Church, as they get lifted off. I like what Thomas Brooks says as he says this, let thy choicest companions who have made Christ, let those be thy choicest companions who have made Christ their chief champion, or chief companion, rather. Man, let us partner together. Let us come together two by two. And this leads us to our second thought real quick. Turn to the person next to you and say, he's almost done, okay? It's all right. Turn to the person next to you and say, he's almost done. Second thought we see from this passage is this, is that there is plenty to do. The more the merrier. There is plenty to do. In verse 2 of Luke chapter 10, it says this, he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you straight up, we need more workers and we need less sitters. We need more workers and we need less sitters. We need more people to stand up and say, I'm going to serve. I need to serve. God has called me to serve. And let me tell you what, it's real simple. You say, well, I don't know what to do. You can start here at the church, and here's what's great. You can come up here to the church, and we'll partner you with somebody else. See how that works? And then guess what? Y'all get to go serve together. If you look at Matthew chapter 9, look at what Jesus says. He says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Man, we need people to stop sitting and to get up and to begin to start working. When you look in Elijah and you look at his life, what's fascinating about Elijah is he was there on Mount Carmel when the Baal worshipers were there, and he was the only guy standing, and God did this miraculous thing, sent down fire, consumed the whole sacrifice that Elijah had made. But after that, Elijah had to go away, and he was hiding off in a cave. And he was asking God, he goes, God, just kill me now. I've had enough. I don't want any more. I've had it. And what does God tell Elijah? I have a friend that you need to go to. His name is Elisha. Elijah, I have a friend named Elisha. I want you to go to him. But not only do I want you to go to Elisha, and partner with him. But he also says this: yet I've reserved 7,000 in Israel whose knees have not bowed to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. God said, hey, listen, it's not just you and Elisha all alone. Rather, I have more men available that are ready to serve me. Matthew Henry said this in his commentary: those that are good ministers themselves wish that there were more good ministers, for there is work for more. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, there is plenty to do just even around this church. There is plenty for you to do as a Christian in your neighborhood. There is plenty for you to do when you are at the ball field. There is plenty for you to do and plenty for you to do to serve God in your company. There is a lot for you to do. And so I would encourage you to begin to pray and to ask God to, hey, bring those people, bring my partner so we can tackle this together. 1 Peter 4, 8 through 10, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to do what? To serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. Guys, there's plenty to do. We need help in the children's ministry. We need help in the youth ministry. You might have a big house. Hey, listen, I guarantee you the student ministry needs that house, okay? They need it, okay? They need it during Disciple Now. You might say, hey, listen, I have a great house. We can host a home group. We can lead discipleship groups there. How many of y'all have the internet? Guess what? You can be a teacher online. There are so many places that God is calling us to go and to serve and to use, and he has blessed us richly with so much. Guys, we need to get busy. We need to stop sitting and start getting to work. Third and finally, turn to the person next to you and say, "Whoo, he's done almost." Third and finally, we see this in the passage. It's going to be an adventure. It's going to be an adventure. In verse 3, Jesus says, now go. He says it with a lot of excitement because there's an explanation point there. He says, go. Then he says this, I am sending you out like lambs among the wolves. It's going to be an adventure. You know what I love about Jesus is he's up front with us. Hey, y'all pair up. Hey, there's going to be a few of y'all out there, so pray to my Heavenly Father. Guess what? Pray that more workers come, but get this, it's going to be dangerous. It's going to be an adventure. You will run into hardships, but guess what? On top of those hardships, there will be some victories. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul kind of recounts what he's been through. Look at this. 5 times I've received from the Jews, the 40 lashes minus one. Get this. 5 times, Paul has been whipped 39 times. 3 times, I have been beaten with rods. Once, I was pelted with stones. 3 times, I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst. I have gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. I don't know about you, but man, that sounds like Paul has lived his life, has he not? He has not sat around and watched Netflix all day. I don't think Paul knows what binge watching is. This guy has lived. And not only has he lived, he's lived his life for Christ. When I get to heaven, I want to sit down with Paul and say, Paul, remember when you were shipwrecked and you stayed out all day and night in the open sea? And he's going to say, yeah, I remember that. I'm going to say, what was going through your mind? Because my thought is, if it was me, I would hear this in my mind. Dun-dun. dun 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 dun. Y'all with me on that? I mean, Paul, were you thinking that? Because if it was me, that is what I would be like. Dun dun. Ah! I mean, it's hard for me to just float in the lake, you know, all by myself. Man, Paul, what were you thinking? And you know what? He's not going to say I had the Jaws scene going through my mind. He's going to say, you know what? I was thinking about all the people, if I drowned, all the people that I would miss reaching. Man, what an adventure that is. What an adventure that is. I want to tell you this story. Matt over here, my friend, starting a church over there, Redemption City Church. Tell you this quick story. I said, Matt, what is causing you to do this? He goes, man, I'm just following God. God's opening up doors. You'll never believe what he's doing. I'm like, okay. So we go out to lunch one day, okay? And then after lunch, we're driving around. He's showing me some of these spots that he's wanting to plant, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, it doesn't matter because I see a Steel City Pop. How many of you have had a Steel City Popsicle? Y'all with me? Best popsicle ever, is it not? Okay. Anyway, Steel City Pop. I'm like, dude, I'm tired of you talking. Let's go over here and get a Steel City Pop. And he says, amen, right? You're buying. And I'm like, yes, I'm buying. So we go over there. We have Steel City Pop. We're sitting out in the middle of this courtyard area. It's me and Matt, and we're sitting there and we're eating popsicles, okay? So get the picture. It just doesn't, you know, things don't look right here. But we're sitting there, we're eating a popsicle, and there's this mother and her child sitting just like two tables over. And we're the only ones in this courtyard, and we're over here and we're kind of quietly talking about ministry. And Matt's been telling me all this stuff that God's doing. And I said, so how do you reach people? And this is what he says. He goes, man, it's the craziest thing. It just happens. And I'm like, how does it happen? He goes, man, it's hard to explain. It just happens, but it's amazing. And then I kid you not, this lady, and Matt can testify, this lady turns and goes, hey, what are y'all talking about? And Matt goes, well, we're talking about planting a church. And she goes, oh, I'm looking for a new church home. I kid you not. And Matt jumps up and goes, well, guess what? I'm the pastor, blah, blah. He just goes into his whole spiel, gets her phone number. He gives her a card. And I'm like, dude, what just happened? He goes, that's what I'm talking about. God shows up and does amazing and awesome things. And it was so cool. We high-fived each other. It was awesome. It was an adventure. Man, how's this going to happen? God's called me to do this and to serve here and to do that and to serve over there. How is that going to happen? Man, you just sit back and let God work, and man, it's an adventure. And the only thing you can say at the end of the day is, man, what an awesome and great and mighty God I serve. Amen? At the end of the story, the 72 and the 12 disciples come back to Jesus. And if you read there in Luke chapter 10, the rest of it, they're high-fiving each other. They're having a good time. And Jesus says, at that time, in 21, at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father of heaven and of earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to the children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. The Heavenly Father was pleased to do something through his children. I close with this story. In 1982, there was an old retired truck driver, 33 years old. Okay, so he's not old and retired, but he was laid off truck driver. His name is Larry Walter. Okay, how many of y'all remember Larry Walter? If you don't know who Larry Walter is, you can go look him up on YouTube. They have home footage of this, but Larry Walter decided one day to get 45 weather balloons, fill them up with helium, then strap a lawn chair to it. And then he went for a little flight. He went up into the LAX airspace and shut down LAX airport for 2 hours. Needless to say, the FAA was not happy, okay? You can look this up on YouTube. They have home footage of him over his house holding on to a rope, okay? It's like total redneck. It's awesome, okay? He's interviewed afterwards, okay? He's interviewed afterwards. The Times gets a hold of him. He's on Letterman and all this stuff. But the Times get a hold of him, and this exchange happened. They asked him, they said, "Were you scared?" He said, "Yes," right? They said, "Would you do it again?" He said, "No." Then they asked the money question. They said, "Why did you do it?" And here is a Larry Walter's response. Larry Walter responded, and he said this, "Because you can't just sit there. Because you can't just sit there." Fellow Christian, don't just sit there. I challenge you to be the hands and the feet of Jesus in your neighborhood. To be the hands and the feet of Jesus in your company, in your business team. I challenge you to be the hands and feet of Jesus on your ball team. Do something. Even if it's a mistake, just don't sit there. Just don't sit there. Charles Spurgeon said this, "He who does not serve God where he is would not serve God anywhere else." Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? I'm going to tell you real quick. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, then I'm going to invite you. As soon as we're done, I'm going to be sitting right here on the edge of the stage. If you want to know about this person named Jesus Christ, who came, lived, died upon the cross, and rose from the dead 3 days later so that we can have an eternal relationship with him. If you want to know this man, this not just man, but God-man, 100% God, 100% man, who died on the cross, rose from the dead, the only person in all of history to do this. If you want to know who that is, come talk to me immediately after service. If you want to get involved somewhere, I'll tell you what, we have plenty of ministers out there. We have a connection. We'll go out there and say, "Hey, listen, how do I get involved? What do I need to do?" And by the way, here's somebody I just found. I don't know them very well, but they're going to be my friend real quick, and we're going to do this together. What can we do? How can we serve? I want to encourage you, go and do that. Just don't sit. God, we love you and we thank you for this day. As we go our separate ways, Father, may you bring us back together. May we be faithful to serve you wherever we're at. Whether we're here in church, whether we're at the office, whether we're at home, Father, may we be faithful to serve you. Father, thank you that we don't have to do this alone, but rather you have a partner out there for us. Someone that can grow us in your word. Father, thank you for your love, thank you for your sacrifice, and thank you for what you're going to do in our hearts and in our lives. Bring us back together next week. We ask these things in your name. Amen and amen.